Psalm 131. Brother David the psalmist says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even weaned as a child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Now that's reading all three verses of that psalm. And so let's bow our heads and hearts together and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, I thank you tonight for the good singing that we've enjoyed, the good shouting and the testifying, and Lord, the good liberty in God's house. I appreciate our visitors being with us tonight. Lord, I realize more than any that unless you touch me tonight, nothing will be accomplished for God. Lord, I surely don't want to preach in a methodical way. I don't, Lord, want to be dry and boring. I want to get the thought across that you've conveyed to my heart. And I pray that you'll help me to do that, that our people, Lord, might realize what it is to be weaned and to be strong men and women of God, walking in thy ways and being obedient to thy precepts. And Lord, I want to preach the gospel too. Perhaps there's somebody here listening to the radio and they've never been saved. And Lord, I don't want to fall short of that and fail to declare the gospel of our Lord Jesus, that is the power of God unto salvation. Now help me now. Do a work in my heart and make me a blessing that I might be a blessing. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you can be seated now. Now, when we come to look at Psalm 131 tonight, simply by way of introduction, I want to say here that David is not in this psalm speaking to another man. David is not here communing upon his bed in his own heart. But Brother David is here talking directly to the Lord. He's not fellowshipping with somebody else, but he's in direct contact with God Almighty. He says so from the very first word, Lord, my heart is not haughty. And this little psalm is a small psalm. It's just got three verses to it. But I tell you, church, it's a real gem. It's a real jewel in the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to be able to do Brother David real justice tonight as I look at these three verses with you, but I want to try to do the best that I can and try to be a blessing to you. And maybe you can dig out some things on your own at home that will help you in your Christian life. Now, David here, the psalm, it speaks as just a small child. In verse number 2, David said, surely I've behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of its mother. And you know, I didn't even look up any of the children in the Bible that it spoke of being weaned, but just off the top of my head, I know that Hannah never took Samuel to the house of God until he was weaned. Her husband went up to the place of worship in Shiloh and worshiped God, but after Samuel was born, it was Hannah's desire to stay at home until that baby was weaned from its mother. And so there's just something in the Bible about weaning a child, and yet there is a real spiritual application to this text, because it not only speaks as a child, but the text really contains the experience of a full, mature man of God that's been saved by God's grace and is living for the glory and the honor of Almighty God. If you look closely, you'll see that lowliness and humility are seen here in connection with the sanctified heart of the man of God. And we find here that his will is perfectly subdued, and he's come into complete obedience unto God. If you please, he is a child of God that has been weaned from mama's milk. He's a man of God that has been taken from the breast of mother, and for the first time he's been no longer drinking milk, but he is a man that is in need of strong meat in the Word of God. Now, that's right now. Now, that's right. And I say this because I believe this is where some of our people are living right today. Brother, when I read this psalm a couple of nights ago, or a couple of mornings ago, the Holy Ghost troubled my heart out of that verse of Scripture. And I thought, surely, Lord, that there's some of our people, from the indication of how they're living and what's transpiring in their life, their conduct is just like a little child that's been weaned from its mother's breast. And God spoke to my heart and confirmed that. And he said, preacher, as sure as a child is weaned from its mother's breast and has a peculiar behavior about it, so will every man and woman that I wean from milk to meat have a peculiar conduct about them in their life. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you wean a child, their life takes a drastic change. Yes, when that baby gets away from mama's breast, buddy, and I don't mean to be ugly, there is a real change, a real transformation takes place in the life of that child. I say to you that every Christian that's been saved by the grace of God must go through a time when they feed on the milk of God, but they also must be weaned from the breast of God and become as such that have need of strong meat, having their senses exercised, that they might discern both good and evil from the hand of God. That's right. Now, not every child of God arrives at this weanedness just overnight. That's right. I'll tell you, I've noticed that people get there at different times in their Christian life. I've tried to watch. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When my kids were growing up, I was footloose and fancy-free when they were babies for the most part. And I never paid a lot of attention to my children when they were growing up. But I'm a grandpa now. And I have learned to watch my grandchildren and their behavior. And I've observed all eight of them kids as they're being weaned from their mother. And brother, I'll tell you, it's a trying experience. I want to say that again. It's a real trying experience. And not all of them are going to be weaned from mama overnight. And I've noticed this, and I'm just giving you this, trying to get into the message. But I've also noticed that Tammy's youngins have a tendency to hang on mama's dress tail just a little bit longer than what Lisa's youngins has. And brother, there are some of God's children that have a tendency to hang on the dress tail of mama just a little bit longer than some of the others. I mean, there's some that are easily broken, and there's others that are not going to give in to getting off of the milk as easily as what some of the other children of God are. That's right. Now, you bear with me. Not every child of God arrives at this weanness speedily. Some are sucklings when they ought to be fathers. Now let that soak in on you. Some Christians are still sucking the breast, the spiritual breast, when they ought to be fathers. That is, when they ought to be bringing other Christians into the world through their witness and their testimony. They ought to be adults, strong, stalwart men and women of God. But I'm sorry to say to you that some of them that ought to be fathers, that ought to be Christians of full age, are still bottle babies. They're still sucking the breast. They don't know what it is to be weaned. They can't get out from under mama's dress tail. They don't know what it is to live a life by faith without living it under the dress tail of mama. That's why we got so many spoiled brats today in churches. Amen. 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 Right.
See, that baby goes to getting wings. Some of them get like a spoiled little brat. They got to have the foo-foo. They got to have that foo-foo, buddy. And if they don't get that foo-foo, they're going to throw a temper tantrum. That's God's youngins. If I can't fill my head in His breast, I'm going to throw me a little temper tantrum. Amen. Now all of them ain't going to get there overnight. All of them ain't going to get there at the same time. Others, now don't leave me now. I'm reading, but I don't want to get too methodical. I'll preach the points out of the psalm in a minute. Others are hard to win. They cry, they fight, and they rage against the Father's discipline. I'm going to tell you that one sitting right back there with that pink tail, ponytail, whatever it is, that pink ribbon in her hair. Buddy, when she started growing up, and Tammy started trying to take her off the bottle, I'll never forget when she'd come to the house, she'd have that little old foo-foo thing and stick it in her mouth. That's right. And she'd want to go to sleep with that stupid thing and sticking between her teeth. Hey, look here. All it was something to satisfy her without really enjoying the reality of what she was supposed to be getting out of the bottle. That's the way a whole lot of Adventists are. They still sucking on a foo-foo. Still sucking on a foo-foo. Pretending to get the real juice when they ain't getting nothing but a stinking fooler in their mouth. Sucking on nothing and they get nothing out of God. Now look here. And I said some of them cry and stomp and rage. They have their temper tantrums. I remember when Jordan had come to the house. I remember one night when Tammy's a-breaking her, I told her one night, I said, hey, guess what Papa's got in the drawer at the house? She said, why? I said, Papa's got your old foo-foo. I kept it. I've still got it, by the way. It's in one of the drawers at my house, one of my chest of drawers. I laid it in there just for a little keepsake. I don't throw stuff like that away. I don't give things away that people give me, either. No. If it falls apart, I don't throw it away. But she come to the house one night. We crawled up in the bed, and you know the first thing she said? She said, Papa, can I have my foo-foo again? I said, no, you don't. I said, you don't take no foo-foo no more. I want my foo-foo. I want my... Hey! But there's a whole lot of truth right there. God pulls the plug on a whole lot of His youngins. And rather than take a knife and a fork and dig into a piece of steak, let your heart, they want to go right back to sucking on a foo-foo, a bottle, getting back on mama's breast, having nothing from God, and they get nothing from God but sucking air out of a fooler. And if they don't get their way, they're going to throw their little temper tantrum about. Rage and cry. Throw a fit. Amen. Now, ain't nobody going to leave me, are you? Some, now get me now, don't leave me. Some when they think that they are weaned, sadly discover that their old habits are only wounded and not slain, and before long they give up and go right back to the breast of the old habits. What am I getting at is God wants to wean us from some of the old habits of life, some of the old way of living, some of our carnal ways, some of our worldly ways, and just about the time we think that we've got her whipped, we're right back to where we were. Because them old habits is only wounded and not killed. That's right. I know a preacher tonight, if he ain't careful, have television back in his house in 6 months. That's right. Don't look at me so bug-eyed. Hey, I'm telling you, them old habits, brother, the world and the mess and all the old habits that we used to have and enjoy and all the pleasures of life that we used to enjoy, most of the time when God begins to lead us, if we're not careful, we'll find them only wounded and not dead.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's right. Amen. That's right. There's a young man sitting right there about where Jerry's sitting. Testified. How many times? I don't know. He got saved right there. I wonder where that boy's at tonight.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be ugly.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what he couldn't shake. He couldn't shake a WJCN or WGNT or WFMW or whatever that mess is up out of Owensboro that plays all that Dolly Parton and Hank Williams Jr. and all that mess. He just couldn't weed himself off of that mess. Well, I got saved, Brother Hall. I don't need the world anymore. I don't need pleasures anymore. I'm a grown child. I don't need toys and playthings and pretty. I've been weaned. I'm a living for God.
Amen.
Amen. Be honest with you. Be honest with you. Most of the time, all of our hunting paraphernalia and our guns and our knives and our four-wheelers and our three-wheelers and our motorboats and bass boats and all that stuff, I'm going to tell you, it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing but adult pretties and toys that we can have our old carnal flesh and our old pleasure, old life of pleasures. Amen. We still think that we need all that junk. Amen. Now I've seen folks pretend or whatever to get saved by the grace of God and hang on and receive God with joy. I don't need no more of that stuff, preacher. I've been weaned off of that. I've set my affection on things above, where Jesus is at the right hand of God, only to find out that their pleasures and the world is not dead. They're just wounded a little bit. You give a wound an opportunity, buddy.
That's right.
And that wound, I guarantee you, give your flesh an opportunity. It'll put a patch on a wound. It'll stitch it up. And when it quits bleeding, you'll go right back to the same old mess you was in. Amen. How many times you get ripped up on a motorcycle before you give them up, see? Amen. Break an ankle? It's God, I'm getting out of this mess. I ain't doing that mess no more. 3 weeks later, man, I feel a little... Amen.
Right.
That's right. I told somebody today, I say this in all honesty, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but Brother Rick Pitino and the Kentucky Wildcats is the God of Kentucky. That's right. He's a pull and a strain on the people of God, I'm telling you, and the children of God that have been infested with that mess. Quite careful, they'll be dragged right back into the same old carnality that they used to live in. Hallelujah. I hope you get something tonight, because I'm sure enjoying what I'm saying. I want to say that weaning takes a child out of a temporary condition and puts him into a state which will continue for the rest of his life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When God weans, hey, you don't see a baby when they come off the bottle or come off of mama's breast and grow up 7 or 8 years and 10 years old, ever go back to that thing? Oh, no. And I want to say this. I want everybody to get a hold of this. Human beings are the only creatures on God's earth that drink milk after they become adults. That's right. Amen. You don't see a 25-year-old mule sucking milk, do you? Amen. You know, hey, you don't see a 10-year-old ewe lamb, bless God, out of sucking milk from mama, do you? How come God's sheep can't seem to get away from milk? Weaning time. David said, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. I didn't rant and rave and rage and cry and sob and moan. David said, when God pulled me off the press, I just said, amen, God, it's what I need. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. God takes you off of that. God weans you. Brother, He pulls you off of that breast and gives you a little meat. He is putting you into a continual state that you will live in for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say some other things along. I'm not covering all of it yet. Amen. But David said, surely I behaved myself and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother.
Yes.
My soul is even weaned as a weaned child. David said, my soul don't need what it used to need.
Right.
My soul don't enjoy what it used to enjoy. Would you imagine? What would you think of me if Tuesday night you come into the house of God and walked in and Brother Hall pulled a bottle full of milk with a nipple on the end of it out of the pew and went to sucking on the Bible again? You'd say, he's nuts. He is crazy. Son, I'm getting out of here. What I've heard about him is really true. He is a fool. How do you think God feels as your heavenly Father looking down on grown men and grown women for the time when you ought to be teachers and yet you have need that somebody teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of the doctrine of Christ, and look at you running around with a bottle of milk stuck in your mouth when you ought to be digesting a T-bone steak for God?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen, Brother Hall.
Right.
Don't nobody leave me now.
Right.
I just mentioned, now I ain't got to my message yet. I just mentioned four things that I wrote down that I really believe some of you in here need to be weaned of.
Amen.
Not everybody needs to be weaned from the same thing.
Right.
Some may be enjoying one carnality thing or one carnal thing or one bit of pleasure or one amusement or worldly amusement or something that doesn't interest anybody else at all. But I'll tell you, where yours don't interest them, where theirs don't interest you, yours don't interest them. But I'll guarantee you what the four things I'm getting ready to point out will fit at least 99.9% of every person in this church, including your pastor.
Yes.
May God help us.
Yes, sir.
When I was reading that, God said, hey, it might be time for you to grow up.
Amen.
Might be time for you to lay aside some things that you deem necessary for your own life and for your own enjoyment. Isn't it not time that we give up our self-enjoyment and self-indulgences and self-pleasure and begin to seek the one, my friend, who for the sorrow of his soul laid his life down that we might be saved by the grace of God?
Amen.
Amen. You'll never show me one time in the Bible where Jesus ever shot a basketball into a hoop, was out on the golf range. I never seen him go fishing except, bless God, to put food on the table for somebody. He never played basketball, shot golf, or went to the amusement parks, theater houses. Hey, man, never owned bass boat. I'm telling you, God said it's time to grow up. I need it. If I ain't a preaching to nobody but Brother Hall tonight. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you ought to admit that you need it. Look here. Look here. Do you think sitting up there looking at them stupid pocket knives, what do you think that is? Milk. Ninny sucker. I'm a ninny sucker. Not preach to me. I'm a ninny sucker. Oh my God, I'm telling you, some of the old men of God, would laugh and scorn the preachers of America today, church. That's right. I know preachers today, and I'm not trying to be cute, but the preachers all over America today stand up and they say, well, we're living in the Laodicean church age, and the problem that we're having is that people have, they've got wealth and riches, and they say, I don't need anything, but they know not that they're poor and rich and naked and blind, and they've got everything they don't have. But are you listening to me? I'm here to tell you that Brother John there is not talking to the people. He's addressing the pastor of the church. In all seven churches, he is addressing the man of God that stands behind the pulpit.
Right.
Well, now I'll tell you, we can brag of driving new cars. Preachers got 3 and 4 own personal automobiles. They're wicked or in hell and need to get saved. And you can tell them, I said that.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. I'd like to have a new truck. Every time I drive by, somebody said, can you afford it? Yes! I can afford a new one. And I'm going to tell you what, I got something I can do with $400, $500, $600, $700 a month. A whole lot better, bless God, and I can pay it and ride around in a truck. The church van will get me anywhere I want to go.
Right.
My 92 roadmaster will take me anywhere I want to go. And if both of them legs dead, I'll hook on to them with a trap. Bless God. And pull them wherever I want to go in the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
God help us. God help us. I got to have this and I want that. And I need toys and trinkets and pretty gadgets and this and that.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what we need. We need God.
Hey.
We need God, brethren.
Hey.
I'm not at all, hey. I'm not at all surprised at God not looking down and saying, just acting like children in the marketplace.
That's right.
You know how a child acts in the marketplace? Give me a sucker, darling, please buy me a sucker. I want bubble gum. I want bubble gum, Daddy. I want bubble gum. Daddy, can I have a box of Cocoa Wheats? I want Cocoa Wheats. Give me Cocoa Wheats, Daddy. I want Cocoa Wheats. Give me Cocoa Wheats. I see everything. Daddy, I want cookies. I want cookies. Oh, ladies. And ice cream. Give me a... Hey, I'm telling you, ducks ain't any different.
Amen.
It just went from cokes and ice cream to shotguns and bows and arrows and automobiles. Yes, I know, Brother Hall, you're telling right. Amen. Look here. There's four things we need weaned from. Number one, worldliness. We are worldlier a lot than what we ever thought we are. John, I'm telling you, when I first started preaching about revival, and I got the TV out of my house, and some of y'all started throwing your TVs out, and I thought, my God, and all the women throwed away their culottes and their britches. I thought, my, aren't we getting somewhere now? I mean, son, we are just about the pinnacle of spirituality. We have just about arrived. But I'm going to, hey, everybody look right up here. You can get mad at me. You can do me throw rocks. You can do whatever you want to do. But, son, we just about got to the point in a lot of our Baptist churches that we've made throwing the television out the pinnacle of spirituality. And I know men don't have a television. They're wickeder than the devil himself.
Right.
And I don't think you ought to have one. I don't intend to get one. I ain't going to watch one. They'll pollute your mind. They wicked. They got adultery and incest and booze and all that mess on there. But I'm telling you, friend, when we get away, when we shed ourselves to the outer garments of sin, we're just starting.
Right. Deeper work than that.
Might it be such a thing that old John Wesley really had something down when he said, hey, you need another work? You need to be sanctified.
Right, yes, sir.
All
give
right.
Go ahead.
Hey, that's right. Sanctified. Hey.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Praise.
Hear me well. I can take off every piece of every stitch of clothes I got on. But friend, if I don't put something else on after I take them off, I'm nothing but a naked man.
Right.
Amen.
You can strip off all the outer garments of sin you want to, but if you don't put something else on in the place of it, you're nothing but a naked man.
Amen.
I'll tell you, sanctification is not only putting something off, it's putting something on.
That's right.
The separation, we put it off. Sanctification, we put it on. Buddy, I'll tell you, we still need sanctified.
Amen.
Envy, jealousy, strife, animosity, laziness, sorriness, worldly amusements, all that mess.
Yes,
God, I didn't know I'd preach like this to
him.
God, help her. God, help her.
Yes, sir.
I want everybody to get this. We are not weaned. God does not wean us from those things in the world that we use. But He does wean us from our dependence upon them for happiness. You hear what I said? That's one of the best things I'll throw out at you all night. I still have to go to the supermarket and buy groceries. Now, I still live in a house that's got all the modern conveniences, lights, air conditioning, water, bathroom, plumbing, all that. Amen. And I still enjoy going to the stores and being able to buy what I need out of the store. But I'm here to tell you, friend, that we need to be weaned.
Amen. Yes,
if it takes going to the Walmart to give us joy and happiness, we're of all men and women most miserable.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
If you can't be happy without going to yard sales, you're in bad shape.
Right.
That's right. You can't be happy without buying guns and rifles and pocket knives, fellas. We're in bad shape. Let me ask you this, buddy. Just let me really put the rubber down where it meets the road. Does it take money to make you happy? I believe the beggar in Luke 16, friend, sat there with nothing but the clothes he had on his back. But I believe every time the old rich man walked by, he sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Most people today, you take their money away from them, and they'd sit like they lost their best friend. Is it money that makes you happy, or is it God that makes you happy? I'm going to tell you what Satan said to God when about Job. He said, now, does Job fear God for naught? What he said was, is God enough for Job? He said, you take touch what he's got and he'll curse you.
He
said, hey, he's not happy. He doesn't run the aisles at the church and shout and sing in the choir, come in every service with a smile on his face because of you. It's because of everything you give him. He's the wealthiest man in all the East. Job said, there it is. He said, take it, but don't touch him. He took it, and Job maintained his integrity. Wasn't a little bit longer the devil come back, and Jesus asked him again. The Lord asked him again, said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, one time. He said, I took everything he's got and said, that ain't something, or still won't cuss you.
Amen.
He said, but I'll tell you what, said, touch him. Touch him and watch him, buddy. He'll cuss you to your face. God said, there he is. Said, you can touch him, but leave his soul alone. Job, the devil went down and broke him out in balls from the head to the foot, and he sent down a sackcloth and ashes, took a potsherd chill and began to scrape the pus out of the balls that was on him. And yet in all this, Job did not charge God foolishly. I'm going to tell you what it was that made Job a happy man. It was God. It was having him, knowing him, having his love, knowing his grace, having his understanding, being pardoned of your sin, being born again and having eternal security of heaven's dwelling in your bosom is what made Job happy. What Brother Paul said when he said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have him than riches untold. Give me Jesus. Woo! Give me Jesus. He's enough, brethren. He is my rock and my salvation. He is the satisfier of my soul. In him I'm well pleased. Hallelujah, God. I find no fault in the darling Son of God. Hallelujah. Not a bit. No, I'm satisfied.
Am
I? Him. I'll tell you, somebody said, why? Because I went to the well one day. Hallelujah! Yes! I'm well satisfied! That little woman at the well got down to the well and carried her little water pot. He looked at Jesus and said, what are you doing here? And he said, if you know who it was you're talking to, all you'd have to do is ask of him. And he said, I'd give you water to drink.
Yeah.
You would never thirst again.
Yeah.
I don't know, intend to cover all of it. But on down the line, Jesus She said, Lord, ever give me that water that I don't have to come here to draw and I'm never thirst again. But when she got a drink of that living water, she made a beeline back to the city. And I believe maybe there might have been a crowd down there, and they said, hey, you forgot your water pots. And the woman said, I'm not a drinking out of them water pots. I've got to find a new joy. Hallelujah. I found a new water. I'm a drinking from another well. Hallelujah to God. All I'm saying is, she left her worldly water pots. She didn't need him for satisfaction anymore. Somebody said, what you do about that? What you do about that man she was shacked up with? I'm going to tell you what I think she did. I think she went back, told that crowd in the city, said, come and see a man.
Yes,
told me all that ever did. I'm pretty happy right now. I'm telling you, the cup's about to run over. Come and see a man that showed me all things. Ever I did, is that not the Christ? I'm going to tell you what I think she did to that man. But she went back home and said, big boy, you're going to have to leave, son. I'm telling you, that's right. Oh, don't you know that you're a whore and you've got to have that worldly indulgence. She said, no, I found something that tickles my spirit more than I need my flesh tickled. And I don't need tickled in the flesh. I'm glad, thank God. Amen, that I found the sugar cookie. I'm glad that I found the sugar cookie. Remember all the end of it. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Hope I didn't ruin this thing. Amen. Amen. Notice now, a weaned child still hungers, but it hungers no more after food that it once delighted in.
Right.
When was the last time you fellas ate a jar of string carrots? What would you do, Steve? If you went come in from work tomorrow evening and Buck over there had set down a jar of Gerber strained carrots for you, Steve, you'd do like any normal man. You'd say, get that stink mess out of my face. Why, sweetheart, it's good strained carrots. I don't want no strained carrots. I want a big bowl of butter beans. Woo! And a good old onion head. That piece of cornbread that you own. Amen. And for washer dad, give me a little bit of buttermilk. I want something that a man wants to eat. Yes! That's right. A weaned child of God still hungry. They still have an appetite. They still want something to eat, but they don't want what they used to have. How about it, Brother Ray? Hallelujah to God. Don't want what you used to have, do you? No. Any man in his right mind would rather have butter beans than strained carrots. Woo! Hey, man. Butter beans is real good. That's right. Child still hungers, but it hungers for more. Hungers no more after the food that it once delighted in. It is quiet without it. It don't need it. It don't scream. David said, I behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned. David said, I'm quiet. He said, Lord, I know I used to like that milk, but hallelujah to God, I just shut up. I know that you know what's best for me and whatever you spread the table with, oh, right for me. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
You know why David could say that? Look here, David said, the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Woo! The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah to God. prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, yes. David could say that because he knew that the good shepherd knew what was best for him. I come in here and preach sometimes. Some of you all sit there. I'll guarantee when you leave, I wish you'd have said something else. But he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to say that. He scolded me today. He scolded me. He said something I just didn't like for him to hear. God knows what you need. He's put a shepherd to feed you, to lead you beside the still waters, to prepare a table before you. God knows what kind of a diet you need, friend. That's right. Whew, I'm about to get tired. I ain't even got to the message. Amen. It can feed on other things. So a child weaned from the world. Get this now. This is good. A child weaned from the world still pants as much after food and happiness, but it no longer seeks them in worldly things or desires. Woo! Now, Brother Hall, we'll not be in church Sunday. We're going to Aunt Susie's house for a family reunion, and while we're there, we'll play croquet and racquetball and badminton with all of our little cousins. It's our neck. I mean, and of course, some of them will be drinking liquor, but after all, Brother Hall, I'm a Christian and I can handle that.
Right. Well, amen, preacher.
Amen.
What do you need that mess for? They said, I'm glad they said to me, let's go to the house of God.
Yes,
I'll tell you what, for every family reunion that my family's had for the last 5 years, my mama's called me on the telephone and said, son, we're having a family reunion. Said, we want you to be there now. Said, all the kids will be there. And said, folks from up in Connersville and all the family. Said, we want you to be there. I said, what year is it, mama? She said, well, they're going to have it Sunday afternoon at the schoolhouse. I said, I won't be there. Got the house of God to go to. I don't need that mess anymore. I love them, but I don't need it no more. I'm telling you what, I got more for my soul in hearing the choir saying, I want to tell that old story everywhere it goes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, like hearing about the story of Jesus and His love. Yes. I'm telling you, I got more than that out of the choir singing than I ever got out of Grandma's family reunion. The other day when I went up to see my mom and daddy for a little while, daddy's in the nursing home, went up there to see him. Mom said, now, son, said they scheduled the family reunion for the last weekend in June this year, and we want you to be there. I said, Mama, what day are they having it on? She said, Saturday. Well, I can't go to church now every Sunday night or Wednesday, Tuesday night and stuff. I mean, there's a favorite program on television I'll miss if that they're airing a first-time hit-run special. Won't you be like the rest of the hypocrites and buy you one of them machines if they record it and play it later on then?
Right.
I'd at least be mad enough to do that and come on to the house of God. That's a drying you up, bless your heart. Amen. We need to be weaned from worldliness. I ain't even got my message. Look here, some of you in here need to be weaned from worrying. Where's Mark? Where's God at? Where's God at? I just can't find Him. I must be lost. I don't know where God's at. That's it. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I just can't find God in my life. Heaven's bright. I don't know what's going on. Job said, I looked up there and couldn't find Him. Looked behind me, He wasn't there. To the left hand, where were you? To the right hand, He wasn't there.
Right.
That may be what he's doing to some of y'all right now. You know what we act like? We act like a little child sometimes the first night when they spend the night outside our house and spend the night at Grandpa and Grandma's. I don't know. Hey. I'll never forget years ago. That monkey head right there. She come to spend the night. Oh, she throwed a fit. I won't spend the night with Poppy. I'm spending the night with Poppy. Elizabeth never had. I mean, Elizabeth just come. She wouldn't care if she ever went home. Didn't bother her. She was that big to come do the duck walk with Grandpa and all that mess. I mean, she just liked it. Y'all, that's another story in itself. But now, Monk over there, she come home. Mama's got all them pictures out there on the kitchen wall. And we're sitting there at that little old table eating. We hadn't been home very long. Miss Hall put something on the table. We're sitting there eating. And she is doing fine. She looked up and seen a picture of her mom and dad. And she said, "Oh, my mommy. Oh, where's my mommy? Will my mommy come and get me?" That's the way some Baptists are. Where's he at? Oh, where's he? I must be lost. I can't find him. I can't find him. Where's he? I prayed. You know what I finally had to do? Finally had to put her in the car and head to Nebo with her. She was asleep before I ever got to Nebo. When she knew she was going to Mama. When she knew she was headed to Mama and could find Mama and touch Mama. That's the way Baptists are. If I just, you know, God, if I can just, I've just got to this, you know, I just can't trust you for nothing. Can't be away from you for a minute. I don't want to get too far from you now.
Amen.
Worrying all the time. Hear me well now. We need to be weaned from weariness. I've got burnout. I'm burnt out. What kind of oil you got in your motor, buddy? What kind of gasoline you got? Don't be weary in well doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Wean yourself from worrying and wean yourself from weariness. Just somebody said, "But preacher, you don't understand. I'm about to die." Hallelujah. If I don't stop preaching tonight, I'm going along with you. My body's had about all it can take. But you know what I said this morning? What a way to go. Hallelujah. Brother Jerry said last Sunday he wanted to run till he died. I want to preach till I die. Yes. Peg wants to sing. Jerry wants to run. I want to preach.
Yes.
That's right. I like it. Ain't nothing like it. Weariness. Some needs to be weaned from wantonness. Loose living. Just loose living. Better draw in that girt a little bit and since you're in. Now I've got to my problem. I mean my message. Hope it ain't a problem. Ah, man. I don't believe we got any preach left in there. I may mention these in close. Now, look here. One thing about David's being weaned, and I titled the message, "The Weaning of a Child." The Weaning of a Child. One thing about David's weaning that you've got to get before you get to the 131st Psalm. It's just not in that Psalm. I said four things about David. Four things. Number one, I see in the Psalm, David smitten. You say, "Brother Hall, what do you mean smitten?" Every child, when they're first being weaned, they've got some first emotions. Generally, it's crying. Sobbing, weeping. I'm satisfied that David, when he wrote Psalm 131, I'm satisfied that God had already went through the process of weeping and sorrowing after God, but he had grown up and was now living like a and conducted himself like a full, mature, full-grown, mature child of God. But his emotions were smitten. He cries. He sobs. And it almost seems that mother is cruel. Do you ever feel that way about God and what God's doing in your life? He must be cruel to me or God wouldn't do me this way. That's how that little child feels. You know, when you pull that bottle out of a baby's mouth and lay them down in that bed and they start, you're going to bed tonight without that baba. Oh, what about you? You're going to sleep without the baba. Mommy, you hate me. I know mommy hates me. She let me have my baba. But you hear me well, buddy, when God smites us, when we're smitten in our emotions, when God pulls us off the breast, we sob and we cry. And God Almighty will pity us. But in His fondness and love for us, God perseveres until the process is accomplished and done. He'll just keep on in the process of weaning until it's done. Because God knows what's best. But here her fondness and firmness keep the process of going. Sometimes she weeps. Hey, how many times, Mama, how many times have you pulled that baby bottle out of that little baby's mouth and walked out of that room and heard that little baby behind you? I said, shut it up in there now. Mama, love me. You wouldn't do me this way. Mama don't love me. I wonder how many times Mama's walked outside that baby's room and said, oh God, my baby's crying. Her little heart's broken. But I know it's best. I know it's best. You hear me well. I wonder how many times God Almighty has wept because of your sobs and your cries and your groans and your moans. But God keeps the process of going because God knows what's best for you in your life.
Yes, sir.
And with a broken heart, He stands outside your bedroom. I can't find you, Lord. Where's my bottle? Know what's best. Help me, Lord. Where are you? I'm standing right outside your room. I'll assure you, if big bad devil comes in, I'm just a hop, skip, and a jump away from you. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah to God. That's right. Wonder how many times God has had to turn His back on us like we have our child when they stand in Christ. Say, Mama, please, give me my baby. Mama can't. Mama can't. Why not, Mama? Hey, Daddy, my daddy told me of a story of a man named Ward Birch that was still on his mother's breast when he was 13 years old and it was dried up. Are you listening to me? Well, Mama, I want the Lord. Know what's best. Where are you, Lord? Little outstretched arms and tears dripping out of the eyes, down the cheek and off the chin. But God must let you go through the process. Amen. To grow you up in Him. So David, we first see David smitten. Now look here. When we come to the Scripture now, three things we see in David and we're going to the house. David smitten, but we see now, we see in the text, we see David's spirit. David's disposition about the whole thing. David said in verse 1, Lord, my heart's not haughty. He said, Lord, mine eyes is not lofty. He said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. David said, Lord, said, I'm not haughty. I know that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God, I'm not haughty. I'm not high. I'm not high-browed and I'm not high-minded. I'm not haughty. I know You know what's best for me and I'll just behave myself quietly as a weaned child. His spirit was not haughty. I want everybody to look right up here at me. Pride is seated in the heart, but its visible expression is in your eyes, in your countenance. He said, my eyes are not lofty.
Amen.
Do you know that that's one of the things that God hates? Is a proud look. You look right up here at me. Well, I know the kids is crying. All of you, look right up here at me. I want you to get this, every one of you. I want you to get this. If you think that you can hide your attitude from Brother Hall when your spirit is wrong and your attitude's been out of joint, you can't. And if you can't hide it from me, which has no, I have no power to do a thing, I can't help you, I can't hurt you, don't you know that God sees it? I don't like what's going on. That look in your eyes gives you away. It tells that there's a problem with you, friend. And I'm not so sure there ain't a couple of problems right now with the preacher and the preacher's wife. Because of your attitude and your spirit. Hey, it tells it. It tells the tale on you. David said, my spirit was not haughty. David said, I'll not do everything I can to make everything go wrong while I can go wrong. I'm not going to keep things from the preacher and hold it back until something's already happened that requires his attention. That required his attention. It's already too late for him to do anything about it. Therefore, he looks like a fool. Hey, man! David's spirit was not haughty. Look here. That word means not proud of his opinion of himself. I'm going to tell you what. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to buy most people for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. Let that soak in on you. That proud man's got a high opinion of who I am. I know preachers that way. I am the greatest. I float like a butterfly and I stings like a bee. I'm the greatest. Muhammad Ali, you a piece of junk. At our best, we're all vanity. We're just vanity. At our best, we're just puff of wind. That's all. Not self-righteous. Get this. Not boastful of the past, proud of the present, or ambitious about the future. David said, I'm not haughty. David said, there's a lot of things that I could be haughty about. Has it ever occurred to you, look here, that David had already been anointed to be king when he went out to do battle with Goliath? Saul said, here, boy, try my armor on. David could have said, hey, buckwheat, I'm king around here. Won't you try my armor on? God's already anointed me, pal. When Absalom raised up in rebellion against David, David could have said, hey, Junebug, what's your problem? I'll jab slap you into next week, boy. But David just behaved himself wisely before God. The quiet spirit submitted unto God, just walked in God's way and let God do what he wanted to do in his life. I know preachers not trying to get up. And their problem is they've never got down. Right. Amen. Not lofty eyes. Not high-minded. Not high-minded. He said, I'm not high-minded. Notice what he said. He said, I exercise myself in great matters. No, he said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. You know what David said? David said, I don't undertake to do anything I'm not qualified to do. David said, I'm not attempting to do something that I know that is beyond my means. That I don't have the ability to accomplish. I will not do that. I'm not high-minded, buddy. I don't think that I'm better than what I really am. Oh, no. See, David's smitten, David's spirit, David's submission Surely I behaved and quieted myself as a child. David submitted. He was submitted with Saul after he was anointed by Samuel. He was submitted to God when Shimei cursed him. He was submitted to God when Absalom rebelled against him. Just humbly submitted to God. Whatever you want to do in my life is all right. Not kicking at the traces. Are you that submitted tonight? Are you spiritual enough that you let God do whatever He wants in your life? What if He don't let you go to Jasper right now? You going to throw a temper tantrum? What if He don't give you a husband right now? You going to throw a temper tantrum? What if He don't save your wife tomorrow? You going to throw a temper tantrum? Hey, let God be God! It took David 7.5 years at Hebron before he became king over all Israel. It took him about 10 or 11 years waiting on Saul to die after he'd already been anointed, but he just submitted, waiting on God. 7.5 years in Hebron before he was anointed king over all Israel. Patience.
Yes, sir.
Patience. I'm going to tell you, show me a man or a woman that is patient. I'll show you somebody that is humbly submitted to God. Lowliness of mind, humbly submitted, just like our Lord. And then I see David's suggestion. He said in verse 3, let all Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth even forever. You know what he's saying there? He said, Lord, he said, I want everybody in Israel to be just like I. That'd be my suggestion for them out there, is to humble themselves and behave themselves as a weaned child, just like I've done. Just have a quiet spirit, a humble spirit, and serve God and let God. Hey, folks, look here. You don't have to help God do nothing. He'll do in your life what He wants to do if you'll submit yourself to it and just back off and let God do it. He'll do it. If you said no, did you cry, throw a temper tantrum about it, and cuss God? God don't heal you tomorrow. You're going to get mad at God about it? Preaching time tonight, folks. Should have shouted this morning. I tried my best to get you to.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I want to conclude saying this. To the weaned child, now get this now, please don't miss this. To the weaned child, his mother is his comfort. His mother is his comfort. Even though he's weaned, he still wants mama. She is his comfort. It is a blessed mark of growth out of spiritual infancy, as an infant, when we can forego the joys which once appealed to the essential and can find our solace in Him who denies them to us. Look here. That little child that is weaned from its mama and that bottle of milk's pulled and the foo-foo's gone, that little baby still loves mama. It's not the bottle that it loved. That was just something to satisfy. Temporarily. It was really mama, just like Mom back there. I want my baby. When God pulls your bottle and weans you, can you still love Him? Even if He denies you the things in your life that you think it takes to please you? David said, Lord, I've behaved myself in my soul and quieted myself, and my soul is even as a weaned child, humbly submitted in lowliness of mind to the perfect will of God. I hope you are. Let's stand to our feet. I've said what God wanted me to